Well, welcome back, Trek fans. We are excited to have you on board for the fifth episode of the Shuttle Pod. Today's date, while we are recording it, is November 5th, 2015. Unfortunately, we are not on the Stardate system yet, so we're stuck with the Gregorian calendar to measure time. My name is Jared Whitley. I'm a writer for Trek Movie, and I am here with my good friends and co-Trek contributors.
Hi, I'm Kayla. I've been working for Trek Movie for about 8 years now. Started off doing the science column and have expanded to helping run the site.
Hi, I'm Brian. I've been with Trek Movie two and a half years. I help Kayla run the site as well.
And we are delighted to be doing the podcast. We appreciate some of the feedback we've gotten from fans. We are look forward to continuing the conversation with you, whether it's in the comment section on our website, trekmovie.com, or on our Facebook or Twitter, our Facebook page, or at our Twitter handle. So, in terms of news, guys, has there been anything Star Trek related this week that might be interesting to discuss?
Oh, no, no, nothing really that I can think of. Except a new Star Trek series back to television, kind of.
A new Star Trek series on television? Let's dig into that. Let's do a deep dive.
All right. Okay. So start us off, Jared. What exactly happened a couple of days ago?
Okay, a press release went out from CBS announcing that there would be a new series. I guess this would be the seventh series in Star Trek, if we're going to count the cartoon series as well, which will be airing exclusively on CBS All Access. There was an interview from Les Moonves, who's the, I hope I said that name right, who's the CEO of CBS, and he said, quote, "Star Trek is a family jewel. It's an important piece of business for us as we go forward. We're looking to do original content on All Access and build up that platform. Netflix is our friend and competitor. They compete with CBS Core Showtime. All Access will put out original content, and knowing the loyalty of Star Trek fans, this will boost it. There's about a billion channels out there, and because of Star Trek, people will know what All Access is about."
So yeah, basically he's saying they're going to be using the new Star Trek series as an anchor show, essentially, for this All Access network, which is currently available. It's not a brand new thing, but it hasn't been very successful compared to things like Netflix, Amazon Prime, HBO Now, and Hulu, which are the big players in streaming services. So it seems like...
And which have been generating their own original content.
Yes, they have. So, which has been obviously a really good move for them. Netflix has had really good success with that. And then Hulu followed suit as well. So it's interesting to me that CBS has chosen Star Trek to be the thing. I mean, I think it's a good thing that it shows they have enough confidence in the show that they think it can bolster an entire platform. But I know there's, you know, there's thoughts both ways on that, both people reacting both good and bad to that news that it's going to be exclusively on All Access. Only the premiere episode will be on broadcast television.
Do you think this will be effective? Do you think a lot of people, like the three of us and people listening, will get our subscriptions to CBS All Access like they want us to?
I think so, definitely. I think All the Trekkies out there will get it, whether or not they're... There's a lot of people complaining online right now. I will never buy this, and it's like, you know, you're going to buy it to watch Star Trek.
And, you know, and I want to remind people that it's not just going to be, you know, it's not like you're buying this and the only thing on the service is going to be Star Trek.
Sure.
But first of all the Star Trek series are going to be there, and then CBS has a library that goes back over half a century. And believe me, they are going to leverage every single bit of that library. Not to mention all their current stuff. Apparently, like, all the local news channels, all their local newscasts are in there. You can stream that stuff as it's happening live. There's a lot of stuff on the thing. So it's not like you're going to be just... There is stuff there to keep you occupied besides Star Trek.
Certainly. I think people are worried about... Like, one of the reasons people haven't been flocking to CBS All Access already is because it is just one network, and so they automatically assume that there will be less content compared to one of these content aggregators like Hulu and Netflix. But, like you say, that may not be the case. There may be... It may be just as rich in content as the others.
I don't think this will be the only original content that CBS will prepare for their digital platform.
No, I don't think so either. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if there's already more. It wouldn't surprise me if there is more original programming in place by the time Star Trek even goes on. If they're serious about building this thing out, they're probably not going to wait a year to do it.
Probably not.
I think, Star Trek, as we've discussed among ourselves, Star Trek has had a history of being the trailblazer for the network or the studio that owns it. Phase two, which was supposed to be basically a continuation of the original series in 1978, was going to be like the flagship show of the, I think it was going to be called Paramount Network, or I forget what it was. But Paramount got cold feet and ultimately decided, obviously, not to go that way, and they made Star Trek the motion picture instead. But and then obviously Voyager was the flagship show of UPN when it launched in 1995. So Star Trek is definitely has a history of being used as a, I guess, a trailblazer, I guess you could say.
Thank you for using the term trailblazer because something that I have gotten more than fed up with reading in terms of articles this week has been tired overuse of the phrase, the Star Trek franchise is boldly going where it's never gone before. As though every reporter who writes that thinks he's or she is the first one to have come up with that.
Star Trek is beaming into CBS's All Access.
No way. If I had done that, you had full you had my full permission to revoke my geek credentials.
Will do. The other thing, I did an article about CBS earlier this year, I guess it was in May, where Entertainment Weekly came out with a list of what the top 50 shows on network television are, and 28 of them are on CBS. And of the top 10, six of them are CBS. So this is a network that is at the top of the heap right now. And so something that I've seen said about this is CBS is trying to transition while they have while they are still ahead to make sure that they don't get lost in the transition from broadcast to digital.
I think it's
I
smart.
completely agree.
It's a smart move for them.
I think a lot of their viewership right now skews a little bit older, and they have so many procedurals, and I think. And if my mother is certainly representative, I think a lot of older people like procedurals. And so I can't imagine they won't try to build off of that demographic as well.
Although they're, ch I mean, they just had the new Supergirl show premiere, and that's
Oh, yeah, that's
obviously
right. Yeah.
aimed at a younger audience. So it
Sure.
seems like they're trying to cover their bases in terms of viewership.
Yeah, Les Moonves is no dummy, guys. He knows what he's doing.
So.
I think it's a, from a business standpoint, I think this is, I even though there are a lot of fans who are upset about it, I think this is a very smart move for CBS.
I tend to agree, and the more I think about it, and the more I talk with you guys, and the more I read about what's going on and what the climate is right now surrounding CBS and surrounding Star Trek, the more I like the idea of it being on All Access exclusively. And I have to admit, my first reaction was more negative than positive. I'm not obviously not about the show being created, but about the fact that it was only going to be on All Access and. My negative feelings toward it weren't, oh, I'll never pay for that. Of course, I'm going to pay $6 a month to watch a Star Trek TV show. Of course, I am. And so are all the Trekkies who are whining that they're not going to. Like, we know you guys are going to buy it. Like, how many DVD sets and action figures do you own that you paid more than that for?
And
But
costumes and
that's
everything.
beside the point. But
But the
I.
fact, and it also, it's the cost of a cup of Starbucks coffee.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's the, probably the cheapest streaming service out there.
Yeah, I think that's why they selected that price point.
I was nervous because I was afraid that that would hurt the show's ratings. It would start to kill the show before it even had a chance to air. In terms of, like you mentioned, Star Trek fans as well as CBS viewers do also tend to skew older. So are the very older people, like our parents' generation, are they at a disadvantage if they don't know how to get access to CBS's All Access if they don't understand how to use an Apple TV or a smart TV or a Roku box to get access to it? And but my biggest worry really is because that's in the end probably a smaller percentage of the people who are going to watch the show anyway. But my worry was, what about those fans who only have a passing interest in Star Trek? And I know there are a lot of people out there, plenty of people who I meet when I tell them I'm a Trekkie, they're like, oh yeah, my wife watches that. I like that show. It's all right. I haven't really seen it. those people are not going to pay $6 a month to get all access just to watch Star Trek. And I wonder if it were on the air on television, and maybe this is not true, but would they be more likely to come across it? Maybe the answer is no, because in today's, the way we watch TV today, you don't tend to channel surf very much.
Okay, yeah.
But I still wonder if, you know, wouldn't those people be more likely to watch Star Trek, and wouldn't then it make it more easily for the show to succeed? So that was my first worry when I saw it.
It's a legitimate worry.
So that if it's not, to succinctly to sum up what you say, you think that if there's no critical mass of viewership, and if this business model is unsuccessful, that they will only be on the air a year or two, and then CBS will say this isn't working.
Right. I mean, because, yeah, there are plenty of Trek fans out there, and we're super passionate, but there's not enough diehard Trekkies, I don't think, to support the show.
The other thing is what will happen to merchandise and sales, right? If this comes out and there's all kinds of new costumes and makeup and ship models and stuff like that that they can turn into action figures and models and video games, right, and board games, and they see a significant spike on their balance sheet, then it doesn't matter if there's not a lot of people watching it. What matters is how much Latinum the people who are watching it are willing to put out.
But the
other part of that is how much are Star Trek fans already spending on that kind of stuff? And is
they'll buy new stuff from the new show.
Of course,
I'm pretty sure they will. So
they would. People would. I mean, we haven't had new toys that are like. Well, I mean, we've had new toys, but they're all rehashes of older things, with the exception of some of the very, if I may say, low quality toys that we got from the first JJ movie. Some of those toys are
awful.
Yeah, it
was shocking, actually.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the phaser from the JJ movies?
I haven't.
My fiance bought one of these phasers, and it's like, we're like, oh, this is so cool, because it has that part in it that spins from stun to kill, and it like only spins part way and then gets stuck.
And
it only spins in one direction. So if you go from stun to kill, you have to manually flip it back.
Ugh.
It's completely stupid. It's just a piece of junk.
I mean, this is slightly off topic, but one of the most remarkable things about the reboot is the lack of licensing.
Yeah, I mean, like, and look at, we've talked about this before, but look at Star Wars. I'm like, they're hitting us over the head with marketing. I can't even stand seeing any more Star Trek toys.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of obnoxious.
To the point that the new droid, the BB-8, made him this tiny little guy who could roll around is because they have a toy exactly like that you can buy.
Yep, the Sphero. And that actually, fun fact, that toy saved the Sphero company.
Interesting, huh?
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Sphero was not doing too well with their main toy, which was a Sphero, and they have another one called the Ollie, which is like a cylinder-shaped thing, and it wasn't selling. And then when BB-8 came out, and they said, we can make that into a toy, and everyone, like, went crazy over this, and that just put them over the top. They couldn't make them fast enough.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember, I don't know if it was a D23 or something else, but J.J. Abrams was out, and he was talking with Kathleen Kennedy, I think, and they rolled the BB-8 toy out to introduce it. So that's how much emphasis they're putting on that toy alone, that he's there with the key creative staff behind the cameras of the movie.
Yeah. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again now, is that I hope CBS or Paramount will take some pages from the book of Marvel/Disney/Star Wars in terms of marketing this thing. And not only the new movie, but the new show as well. Like, I hope they market the heck out of it.
Yeah.
Because if it's financially viable, then it's more likely to go on.
So going back to what we were saying before about the fact that this show is going to be exclusively on All Access, in addition to the fact that it shows that CBS has confidence in the show, it also is a way for it to be monetized instantly, essentially. So that means we could see the show have a pretty decent budget. And I hope that's what happens. I hope they just throw a lot of money at this thing and they get really good showrunners and writers.
I agree. And like, you know, people were concerned about that. Oh, it's going to be on, you know, CBS's thing. They're not going to spend money on it. Everybody tends to forget those Netflix shows like House of Cards cost a ton of money.
Yeah.
They are as expensive as any network television show. In most cases, they are very expensive.
Oh yeah, they are, and you can tell they're really high quality. They have very high production quality.
I think the Daredevil series on Netflix is phenomenal.
Yeah, they spend money on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you that Star Trek is very deeply important to CBS. They're not going to put some cheapo production out there.
But again,
especially if they're trying to launch this service.
Sure, because they want to be, pardon the expression, the flagship for their new digital offerings.
Exactly.
Right.
But again, I mean, there's obvious parallels to things like original programming on Netflix, like Daredevil and Orange is the New Black and those things. But I have to point out that this show is different from Netflix because they're using it to launch a service to get subscribers. Mm-hmm. And in the case of Netflix, like, they do that partly as well, but they also already have a huge number of subscribers. And so they're tapping into people who already have Netflix and getting them to stay, which I think is easier to do than convincing someone to buy a new service. And we're getting to the point where, you know, plenty of people like myself, I have Netflix, I have Amazon Prime, I have Hulu, and I have HBO Now. And so this, I mean, it's only $6. It's not a big deal, but it is just like in your mind, you're like, one more service to add. It's going to, and then you, you know, unfairly extrapolate into the future and say, I'm going to end up spending as much as I used to for cable, which it turns out isn't really true. And you can buy pretty much every streaming service. I mean, you can get all the same channels you would get on cable and still wouldn't approach the actual cost of cable each month, including CBS All Access, which, again, is $6. Like Brian said, it's a cup of coffee.
I think something that annoys fans is that it's $6 and it's will be ad-supported.
Oh, my gosh, I really wanted to bring that up. People don't realize it. People are you know, tweeting and blogging about how it'll be great that it can be in a format like these other original shows that aren't ad-supported. And I'm just like, well, actually, CBS, it was Les Moonves who was talking about, they were considering adding an ad-free version that I think would be something like $9.99
was the price point.
Yep.
And when I read that, I was like, what? You're telling me it's ad-supported? Oh, my gosh. But I guess Hulu is, too. Hulu has an ad version and a non-ad version. But
You know, Netflix has toyed, they haven't done it, but Netflix has toyed with dumping ads on there, too.
I hope they don't, because that's the thing, is we feel like, and maybe we're over-entitled, but, you know, I've been raised to feel like if you pay for something directly, you don't have to watch the ads. And for some reason, broadcast television always seemed to be... Broadcast television got away from that because it started out as free. If you didn't have cable, you know, you could get it for free over the air.
I went to see...
You still can.
Yeah, you can. Have you ever tried to get a digital signal over rabbit ears? It's always cutting out. If you don't have a good signal, it's not great.
I think that CBS doing this is, assuming it is actually successful, is going to change the streaming landscape a great deal because, and I'm going to, Kale and I are actually going to write an article about this, but, and one of the things we're going to talk about is the fact that if CBS does launch this and they feel good about it and they feel like they can make a horse race out of it, they are going to take whatever content they currently have on other streaming services, and that includes Star Trek and anything else they've got on Netflix or Amazon, everything else, they will pull all of that content off those services and put them on their own because it makes no sense to let your competition have that kind of valuable media.
I don't blame them for doing that.
Sure. Especially if they're referring to it as their family jewel. Why would they leave their family jewel with another family?
Right.
And if I'm going to pay for CBS All Access, I want to also have the ability to watch all the Star Trek stuff too. And so that's the place I'm going to go for Star Trek now, is the CBS All Access app.
Right. And I'm sure CBS will make a great deal of hay about that, saying, you know, the exclusive online home of the Star Trek franchise, you know.
Mm-hmm. See, the other thing they can do in terms of increasing the depth of the market penetration with this, and in terms of getting new fans more invested in the franchise as a whole, is if there is an episode where they talk about augments or genetically modified humans, at the end of the episode, they could say, you'd have a little thing flash out that say, did you like this episode? Watch where it started. Watch Space Seed. Watch the episodes of Enterprise with this.
I love this idea.
Deep Space Nine, where they talk about it. And I mean, if it's not all the work to make these connections has already been done years ago on Memory Alpha.
Yeah,
but are the people who are going to be making the app aware of that, or do they care? I think that would be an awesome thing. I would be so happy if they did that much, and it really was like they were bringing the whole Star Trek universe together. That would be cool.
Well, the whole concept of connecting people based on keywords whether it's in the headline or added otherwise, is something that YouTube already does. Like when you finish a video, it'll flash all these other videos that are related. And so I think that technology is already there. Hopefully, they are smart enough to take advantage of the kind of things people are already doing.
It's a great idea, though, Jared. You're absolutely
Thank
right.
you. I hope they give me $1 million.
Oh, yeah, you can make the check payable to Jared Whitley.
Yes. Well, is there anything else about All Access that we want to discuss with our friends online, or do we want to shift into the next section?
Probably about a million things, but let's shift. We can talk more
Yes.
about this. I mean, this isn't going to be happening for over a year now. We're going to have plenty of opportunities to talk
Oh,
more
yeah.
about the show
Yeah,
as news comes out.
and I think as far as Star Trek fans are concerned, the people who are listening to this podcast, they care more about this news than they do at all about what's happening with Star Trek Beyond. We still care about Star Trek Beyond, of course, but I think this is what people have been saying for years they want to
Well,
see.
this is bigger than a
Much
movie.
bigger, much
I
bigger.
mean,
Oh, yeah.
everyone's been,
Much
how
bigger.
many articles have we run on Trek movies saying Trek needs to be back on TV and here's why?
Yep. And not just us. I remember reading an article that
Oh
said
no,
that
yeah.
on Rolling Stone.
Oh, it's all over the place. It's the obvious consensus on the internet is Trek works best on the small screen because it's a slower paced cerebral thing, and that the when they get made into movies, the networks try to turn them into these huge action-packed blockbusters that Star Trek fans don't recognize. And a point someone else made recently that I thought was a great point is, if I'm going to see an action adventure movie, why should if you know the if the next Bond film is coming out soon, or say Bond is coming out the same time as Trek, like why should I see Trek? And so, if I want to just go to the movies and see a shoot 'em up explosions and all that, why would I go? Why would Trek be the one to bring me into the theater? And so it's like you lose both of your audiences.
Yeah, it doesn't differentiate itself. Also, I think Star Trek's, with the possible exception of the original series, its biggest advantage is having an ensemble cast. And so you have an episode one week that's about Picard, an episode next week about Data, an episode the next week that's about Beverly. And the problem with at least the TNG movies is there was always an A story about Picard and a B story about Data. And a lot of the other characters just got lost. I mean,
Totally.
there's this, horror story from Nemesis where the director didn't even know A, what LeVar Burton's name was, or B, what if Geordi was a human or an alien.
Is
And
that
yeah,
true?
yeah, it yeah, and it like he called him LeVon instead of LeVar. Anyway, we don't need to get into that, but it
What?
is.
Stuart Baird is a very talented editor. He's a little lacking as a director.
Yeah.
We need to have a podcast about this because I want to learn more about it.
About what part?
About like this story behind Nemesis and all that.
Oh,
Oh yeah,
we'll
that'd be
get to it.
great.
We'll get to it. But let's talk a little bit more about I mean, we don't know a lot of details about this new film, about this new TV show, excuse me. One of the details they have shared with us is the showrunners who will be in charge of it. Two names are cited, Alex Kurtzman and Heather Cadden. I looked at their IMDb pages, and Alex has a pretty long resume. I mean, the most famous thing he's been involved in is the Star Trek movie franchise so far, the rebooted new movie franchise. He's worked on a couple other Bad Robot things, Fringe, and Mission Impossible 3. He was also involved in Cowboys and Aliens, Alias, Sleepy Hollow, Hawaii 50, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, and Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen.
We'll forgive him for that last one.
We will.
Maybe not. Maybe we can never forgive him for that.
I was delighted to be able to watch a movie where I heard Leonard Nimoy's voice. That is what I will say about
Yeah.
Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen.
Yeah, just go watch
Well,
Star Trek.
you know why Leonard was in there, right? Because Michael Bay is a cousin of Leonard's wife.
Really?
No way.
Yeah, Susan Bay, Leonard's widow, is his cousin, is Michael Bay's cousin.
Interesting. Huh.
Cool trivia.
Little
Yeah.
bit of trivia
Nice.
nugget
Well
there.
done. Well done. Okay, now Heather Cadden, she's been involved with Sleepy Hollow, Exit Strategy, Scorpion, Limitless, and Matador. And I gotta confess, I haven't seen any of those.
So I haven't either, except I saw by accident, it was just on in my house, an episode of Scorpion the other day, or at least part of it. I didn't even know that's what show it was until my roommate told me what it was. And it was utterly awful. It
Oh,
was
was it?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
atrociously bad. It was
Okay.
so just making, it was a, it was like a stereotype of itself. It was bad.
Is it just another
Yeah.
procedural?
Yeah, but I wouldn't, like I said, I didn't watch the whole episode, but I just walked in on this scene where they had decided that. So the premise of the episode was that the hospital had been like hacked or something, and apparently all of their systems were like on a network, including like ventilators and stuff. So if they didn't crack this code within like a certain amount of time, I guess all the ventilators were gonna shut off. And they were like, anyone on a ventilator is gonna die in 2 hours if we can't crack this code. Work harder. It was the most ridiculous thing.
I don't think hospitals do that exactly for the
Yeah,
reason
I
that
don't
you've
think
just
that's how
described.
technology works at all in any
No,
way.
no. It's some people still have the same attitude toward computers and hacking that they did in the 80s. And if you guys have seen Kung Fury, this fan-made 80s action tribute on Netflix right now, there's a character named Hacker Man who can do anything with hacking, just anything at all. To illustrate the naivete we used to feel about how magical these little boxes were. So it
Right.
sounds like the people on Scorpion haven't learned that lesson. Anyway, I haven't seen it. I can speak to it. I think Scorpion is on CBS, and so that may be part of the connection there, is they're picking someone who they already know and they already trust.
Yeah.
Maybe someone they've already made a longer term deal with. I don't know.
Hawaii 5-0 is on CBS
Yeah,
too, I believe.
that's true. That's right. I think Sleepy Hollow is on Fox though,
I think you're right.
so it's
That hasn't
I'm
been
not.
canceled yet?
Sorry?
I said, and it hasn't been canceled yet?
No. Oh, very clever. Now,
Sorry, Firefly fan here. I gotta do that every
yes.
time.
No. I caught it. I was there. I was there. I don't think there's a fan in the verse who wouldn't have gotten that reference.
Awesome.
I speaking of Firefly, my immediate reaction to hearing it be a new Star Trek show would have been to get someone who was a producer on Firefly to be in charge of this. Someone who I've mentioned in articles before is Jane Espenson. I hope I'm
I
saying her name
love Jane
correctly.
Espenson.
She was on Buffy.
She was on
Uh,
Buffy, yeah.
she's
She's
she's written a couple
amazing.
episodes of Game of Thrones.
Wasn't she on Galactica also?
Probably,
I think she
probably.
was, yeah. And she's actually really active on Twitter, and I recommend following her because she's totally awesome.
Okay. Yeah. I think it would be good to get someone like her who's just got so much geek cred, she doesn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, I would watch anything she was involved in.
So I think this is an odd choice, these two. I'll be interested to see more of what they say their vision is. Also, like Rick Berman, he was the showrunner for TNG. He inherited the reins from Roddenberry. He was not a particularly creative guy himself, but he was really good at assembling a team of creative people. So as we see other writers and producers and directors and whatnot who they announce are going to be attached to this, then maybe it'll fill it out, and some of these fan favorites will be enlisted or to so to speak, and it'll put people's concerns to ease.
Yeah, I definitely think we have to wait to see who they hire.
Yeah, and I think if they get Jonathan Frakes to direct the pilot, I think that'll put a lot of people's concerns at ease, because this is somebody who's been involved with the franchise since the 80s. Of anybody, he's Gene Roddenberry's protege. You hear the way you talk about him. There's so much more of a relationship that the two of them had than I think anybody else. And obviously, his contributions behind the camera are on par or exceed his contributions in front of the camera.
Yeah, he's an excellent director. I
Yeah,
think that would be a great
and
idea.
he's still active. I mean, he directs episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think.
Yeah, and I think he'd do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, absolutely. He wanted to direct Star Trek Beyond, right? And we did an article about his quixotic Twitter campaign to try to.
That's right.
Yeah,
Yeah.
there was
Short
no way in hell that was
of
happening.
course not. But, if he can grab a few headlines and it gets him some other gig, then how does that hurt him? So, I don't know. What other input do we have in
Well,
common?
we know it's going to be all original characters.
Oh, do we?
Which, yeah, that's what it says in the press release.
Well, does it say that all original crew? I thought it says we will be. Oh, someone grabbed the quote. It said something like, we will be exploring new characters and so, but I didn't. I thought it was a little vague, but I could be misremembering it. Let's pull it up.
Let's pull it up here.
Let's just
Hang
pull it
on.
up on the ViewMaster. Are you guys doing it? Because I'm
I
not.
mean, I mean, truthfully, the only Star Trek that had all original characters was the first pilot, right? And then the second pilot, they kept Spock, and then for everything else, they've used previous characters to help launch the ship, so to speak.
Well, I mean, every incarnation of Trek was all original. I mean, like Picard, we'd never heard of him before, and
Oh, sure, but
Sisko and
we
all
had
that.
Dr. McCoy to sort of christen the ship in Encounter Farpoint.
Yeah, kind
We
of.
had
I don't know. I thought it was pretty minor, but yeah.
But I think I would be surprised if we watch the pilot and there's no characters that we already know, right? I mean, even if it's mostly original, they'll still have someone to pass the baton, as it were.
Depending on what timeline this is set in,
Oh,
which we will get
okay.
to in a
Well,
moment.
yeah, that's.
Anyway, the press release says, quote, "The brand new Star Trek will introduce new characters seeking imaginative new worlds and new civilizations."
Right, so they will introduce new characters, but doesn't necessarily. I know I'm just nitpicking here, but it doesn't say that it will be only completely new characters. So that there's still, I think they could still bring in a lot of old characters and still be true to what they've said. They're still introducing new
Maybe.
ones.
Sure. They could have someone who's descended from one of the characters we already know. We could have a different host of the Dax symbiont. We could have another Sung-type android. There's plenty of tie-ins they could do.
Yeah, and I'm not saying you're wrong, Brian. I mean, I think it would be great, and I would love for them to be all original characters. I just want to,
No, I hear you. It depends on how you read the press release. You're
right,
right. You're
yeah,
absolutely right.
that it's not 100% clear cut. I mean, none of it is really, except for the fact that there's a new series. It's going to be on All Access, and it's Kurtzman and Kadon or Kadon. That's really the only information we have.
Yeah,
Everything else is speculation.
it's actually a really well-written press release for what it doesn't say.
Yeah.
Yeah, which makes you wonder if J.J. Abrams wrote it. J.J.'s good at showing you things, but really telling you nothing. So,
Yeah.
which is a
But
credit to him, by the way. That's not a knock.
no,
That's a
not at
credit to
all.
him.
Not at all.
One of the biggest things, like Brian just brought up, the biggest question I think that all of us want, we have a little tiny shred of information that we can try to speculate on, is which timeline will this new series take place in? Will it be in the new JJ Trek timeline or the Prime timeline that we're familiar with from the television shows?
Or potentially something else entirely.
Or potential, I mean, so there are three options: JJ Verse, Prime Universe, or New Universe. I kind of doubt they'll go with a completely new universe because that would be weird.
It ends up confusing people. It's already going to be
Yeah.
confusing enough, I
Yeah.
think. So.
But I think Brian has a lot of good points. So when we With this announcement first came out, Brian was saying, "I'm sure it's going to be in the Prime Universe," and I was saying, "I'm sure it's going to be in the JJ Verse." And now I'm not so sure. But I think Brian, you should talk through some of your points that you made to me when we talked about this earlier, and then I can talk a bit about where I had been coming from.
Okay. The reason I think it's going to be in the Prime Universe is more for business reasons than creative. I think because CBS owns the Prime Universe TV shows and everything else, and the reboot is pretty much controlled by Paramount and Bad Robot, I feel like CBS, for all sorts of reasons, merchandising reasons and assorted other things, is going to be very reticent to give up that universe. I think they would probably want to expand on it and continue to push that part of it. For them to go out and get the reboot, the Abrams verse as it is, for them to go out and get that, I think would require a certain amount of legal wrangling because it doesn't appear, at least from, from the fan standpoint, it does not appear that Paramount and CBS get along very well when it comes to Star Trek.
Sure.
So I tend to think that this is going to be some kind of Prime show. What timeline, what era of the original Star Trek universe is in, who knows? I mean, that's as good a guess as any, but
I agree. I don't think that it will be in the Bad Robot universe.
See, I started out thinking it would have to be in the Bad Robot universe. And admittedly, and I think no one would say that they know. They understand completely the intricacies between the CBS and Paramount relationship. Although I think that you raise a very good point that there is this schism between them, and it's very prominent. And because CBS owns the television rights and Paramount owns the movie rights, and there is some agreement where they can't overlap with each other and things. So it's a pretty complicated relationship. But to me, I mean, because Star Trek as a brand. What Paramount has done with it with the new films is to try to reinvent the brand, rebuild the brand. I mean, that's why it's called a reboot. And you know, whether or not that's actually been a success with Trekkies or with non-Trekkies is, I mean, it doesn't matter, because Trek has not only, you know, created all these new characters and actors, they've created this entire new universe, and by doing that, they've been trying to bring in younger fans. You know, they've been trying to reach a whole new generation of Trekkies. And so,
as they should.
Right. And I think that's a great, and I think it has, one of the things that I've been very happy with the reboot is that it has achieved the one of the goals, which was to bring in a ton of new fans. A lot of my friends that were only, or that were hardly knew anything about Trek, ended up going back and rewatching all the series on Netflix because they saw the new film and they liked it enough. And then now they're well-versed Star Trek fans. So I think that's been great. And so my assumption was that CBS wouldn't want to lose all the momentum they had built up, gaining these new fans. And like Brian, like you said, it could be confusing to someone who's come in as a newer fan. And then all of a sudden it's in a different universe. And they were, you know, if they started being a fan with JJ Trek, they might be confused. And they're obviously marketing to the millennial crowd and young, even younger. They're going the way of this all access thing. So they care about the younger fans. And the with Alex Kurtzman attached to produce, it just, like, he's from the new Trek universe. So that's just another, to me, it makes it more plausible that it could be set in the JJ verse. But like I said, I'm not so sure anymore. When this first news first came out, and even before, I always thought if they're going to be making a new series, it has to be in the JJ verse because that's where they are at this point.
I thought so too. I totally agree.
But yeah, your point about CBS and Paramount going head to head a bit is actually, it's a really good point that might make, and I would love it if they would go back to Prime Universe and leave the JJverse to the movies.
Don't forget too, one of the other things that could kind of tip it off is the fact that Bad Robot is not involved in this new show.
Yeah, and that's huge. If Bad Robot were involved, I don't think there would be much of a discussion about which universe it would be in.
Right. So I guess we'll find out in due time.
Yeah, it's also one of those things where if it is in the alternate universe or the Bad Robot universe, there may be something that happens in Star Trek Beyond that spurs the idea of a new series of adventures.
Yeah, and we should point out that in the press release, they specifically say the new show will not be tied to Star Trek Beyond. Now, to me, that's not a nail in either of those coffins. To me, that's them saying, you know, this show is not contingent upon the story or success of Star Trek Beyond.
Right.
So I feel like to me, it's still a toss-up. I think it could go either way as far as the timeline. I'm not so sure.
I think if we're going to presume that it's in the Prime universe, because that's obviously the one there's a lot more content in that we know more about, then the question is which era it would be in, as you pointed out, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Would it take place sometime between Enterprise and TOS? Would it take place sometime between TOS and TNG? Would it take place sometime in a far-flung future? One of the things that I've kind of struggled with in terms of if they were to do another Star Trek series is the fact that the technology that we have access to right now is in many ways superior to even the technology that they were shown to have on TNG.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that needs to be, it all needs to be completely reinvented. They've got, you know, I don't envy them in that position. They have a lot of work ahead of them if they want to make this a real modern show.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, one of the things that our friend John Champion has said on Mission Log, another podcast you all should be listening to, and we can't recommend highly enough, is that he thinks that Star Trek should be brought back as a cartoon. Because he just loves the original.
Yeah, he recently watched through all the animated series for the Mission Log, and he's in love with it.
Yeah, well, he also told me once that's how he started. That was his first exposure to the franchise, was the cartoon. And one of the advantages, I think, with the cartoon is that I think you can write around a lot of these kind of things. And some of the technology that they show the crew is having in the animated series is more advanced than they see otherwise. Like when they land on foreign planets or strange planets, they have force field belts and things like that you don't otherwise see them have, because it's easier to draw it than it is to actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, the other advantage of if they did a cartoon is it'd be a lot easier to bring back old actors and have them reprise their role without having them look significantly older than they used to be.
Yeah, I would be upset if they brought it back as an animated thing. And I think you could do so many effects these days on the cheap that That part of it's just sort of moot, in my opinion.
And you're probably right, but we're in speculation mode, so
It's
this
true.
guy,
No, totally fair point
so
to bring it
this
up.
the, so
They have
five
not
card
said that it will
stud,
definitely
nothing's
be live
wild and the
action.
sky's the limit, Kayla.
They have not said that it will be live action for sure, although I imagine it will be.
Yeah. One thing they might be looking at, I mean, we talk about Star Wars, is the Star Wars franchise has produced two successful both commercially and critically acclaimed shows, The Clone Wars and Rebels, which are computer animated.
That's true.
And granted, both of those have been targeted more specifically for kids, but they might look at that as an option. I think there's probably a lot of ideas up on somebody's whiteboard in Southern California, and that idea is probably written on that whiteboard somewhere. I think they're very much in an early planning phase.
You could very well be right.
So basically, I mean, that's everything we know. The only things we know for sure are there will be a new Star Trek series coming to CBS All Access. We know that it's going to be run by Alex Kurtzman and Heather Caden, and that it's coming out in January of 2017. And that is literally the only thing we know about the show. Everything else at this point is total speculation. But
And it's going to be so much fun speculating
Oh,
with that,
yeah.
too.
But I hope they just release little breadcrumbs of information little by little to keep us like excited, and then we can speculate more about that. Oh, it's gonna be great.
And we will be here to dissect this news every step of the way.
Oh, you know it.
Absolutely.
Us and our awesome readers on Trek Movie. So please tell us more of your speculation in the comments.
And we did want to end the episode with a comment that one of our fans left. We want to try to end every episode of Shuttle Pod with a Trek-nicdote, an anecdote of how an amusing way that Star Trek has touched your everyday life. And so this one comes from Trek movie fan Sarek's grandfather, which actually is an interesting first contact reference because the Vulcan who comes out and gives the LLAP to Zefram Cochrane is supposedly Sarek's grandfather.
What is that canon?
What's that? It's
Is
not
that
canon. It's not canon.
okay?
Yeah, this is supposedly. That's
All right.
some memory beta stuff there for you. So
Gotcha.
here's his Trek anecdote for us. He says, "I was once in a meeting where a manager said to someone, 'I think you're taking the situation much too lightly.' And of course, I immediately responded, 'No, I take the situation very seriously. It is you I take lightly.'" As everyone gasped, I grabbed the manager and said, "I've been waiting 20 years to use that line. Thank you for the opening." So, of course, where does that what's he quoting there, Brian?
That's Kirk talking to Niels Barris in The Trouble with Tribbles.
Yeah.
That's
Beautiful.
a pretty ballsy thing to say to your manager.
Yes,
Certainly
yes.
is.
Especially, like, it's one thing if he knows that he's a Star Trek fan and it's a running joke between the two of them, but to say it in a meeting in front of a lot of other people, yeah, that's a lot of guts there.
Kudos to him. I think it's
Yes.
awesome that he did that.
Yeah, so Sarek's grandfather. For an unemotional person, you're very good at eliciting humor and enthusiasm
And
from
channeling Kirk.
emotional beings.
Awesome. I love it.
That's great.
Okay, well, thanks everyone for listening to us. Again, we're recording this on November 5th, 2015. Please continue to come back to listen to Shuttle Pod at trekmovie.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
See you later.
Bye, Bruce.